Praise his name. Let's stand, if you will. Just bow our heads. Lord, we appreciate you. You're truly so wonderful. I thank you, Lord, for the desire you've placed in my heart, Lord, to come and to, Lord, to be able to gather around your word and to hear you speak to me, to reveal yourself to me, Lord. And oh, God, may I redeem every moment I have. And Lord, I know everyone's come with that desire in their hearts. Lord, for truly your coming is so nigh. Lord, you can feel it. You can see it. Lord, I know through the ages, every man has looked for your coming in his day. But truly, Lord, with the signs of the times, it is at hand. May we be ready, Father. Lord, that's what we've come for. Anything in our lives, Lord, we can draw closer to you. Maybe, Lord, it takes some sacrifice and some crucifying of our senses and flesh. Lord, let it be in our hearts and our minds. Just bless us now, Lord. Bless each and every one that's made the effort to come. May you just strengthen them and meet their individual needs abundantly, O God. May your will be done, we ask, in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Are you really happy to be out tonight? Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. Praise his name. Turn with me, if you will, in our capstone books there. On 64. Let's start there. Pray it's everyone's desire. Nearer, my God, to thee. Amen.
Nearer, my God, to thee,
desire to give.
desire. Amen. Draw me near. Hallelujah. Page 80. Amen. Praise his name.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the paths that I must draw. I have
safer place to be, son. Amen. Praise his name. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the take up the evening's offering? Praise his name. That's the blessing, if you will. Amen. Make me more like thee, dear Lord. That's my prayer.
Make me more like thee, Jesus. Make me more like thee. Oh,
Jim, would you like to take the request tonight?
Lord Jesus, Father, you gave us such a privilege for you to be here, Lord. Father, sing these precious songs, glorify your name, Lord.
Yes, amen.
Father, we ask that you would just, each hand that went up, Lord, you know what's behind these thoughts, yes, each mind, Lord. Reach down, Lord, touch them and guide them. Have your way in their life this day.
Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Do you have a song tonight? Does anyone else have a song? Maybe something bubbling in your heart. Amen. Amos, you got something? Yes. Amen. If you want him to prepare you, get you ready. Amen. So we can go home and be with him throughout eternity. Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Timothy, come this evening and bring the message for us.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, your and only tried and true.
For a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be here. And Lord, just to feel your presence and know you're here with us. Lord, we've just come hungry, asking you to have your way and to speak to our hearts this night. And Lord, you just take these precious words that are your words. Lord, I'm just a voice. And Lord, may it strike our hearts in a different way, or maybe help us along the way, Lord, to see something greater, Lord, or maybe something strike our heart in a little richer way, we pray. Lord, that it would be to your glory and honor, that, Lord, we'd be a vessel that would be shining forth to you. That, Lord, you are alive and living today. Not just a statement made, but, Lord, a living vessel that's proven that you are alive. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you love him? Amen. Sing it one more time. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. While you're still standing, we'll just turn our Bibles to Romans, the 8th chapter. Read a very familiar scripture, and you can be seated. Amen. Just a little thought upon my heart this evening. It's one of those things it may sound repetitious, some of the things I read, but for some reason I feel like the Lord wanted me to read these things tonight. And you know, as we just sang the song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. A sanctuary for who? You know, we're truly here to let his life live through us. And as our brother was even ministering Sunday, I wonder if maybe there in our hearts we don't feel it's got to be just that way, really. Maybe the life ain't got to be that exact for me. But I just thought we'd read some things Brother Branham said tonight, and God speaking through his messenger, and read some of these scriptures, and even Jesus speaking here, and just kind of let it weigh into our hearts just a little bit. And maybe some way the Holy Spirit will dip it into our hearts greater, that
You never know. Maybe it'll cause us to dig in a little bit deeper.
Amen. Romans the 8th chapter, and we'll just read that 11th verse. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Use the word, and you may be seated. Amen. You know, there's a lot of different quickenings. Amen. When you stop to think about it and look into the scriptures, and you know, we can see we were quickened from sins and trespasses, our brother actually just brought out. And then we also can see at the end there's going to be a quickening take place. Maybe I might be dead and laying in a grave. There's going to be a quickening power still stirring that's going to bring me forth out of that grave. And if I'm living and well, there's going to be a quickening power that's going to change this body completely. And I'm going to leave this world. And my, as we see the precious word coming and see it coming for a purpose. You know, oftentimes we come to church and we're Christians, we say, but is that really our focus in life, or do we let things take our attention from that? Of what we're really sent here for, you know, and just dwelling on these things, there's a lot of things, a lot of different things I just want to speak on tonight, but this is where the Lord went. But you know, I just want to read here in the 15th chapter of the book of John, if you want to turn, very familiar, but want to read this. And just think about these things as Jesus is speaking them. John, the 15th chapter, in the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. And I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And oh my, how we ought to begin to see, after all our brother has been bringing and the Holy Spirit has been renewing our minds to, we need him 100% on the control seat of our lives and in our hearts. And how that stuck out to me, and I was just thinking about it, you know, maybe you don't feel that. Someone might say, well, we're never going to be just like Jesus was. And you know, you might see the pastor get up and say, I'm never going to be just like that pastor is. And that's true as a person. You're not going to be like Brother DeLong. You're not going to be like me. You're not going to do everything I do just like I do it. I got a personality. But nevertheless, my actions, my speech, the way I think, the way I result to situations, everything is going to be just like the word said of Jesus Christ would have handled it. As we look back and we can see those examples, our life is going to be follow that pattern. And I'd like to start here in the message. Amen. I kind of dropped these as I got up. Be not afraid. And this was preached June 7th, 1963. And I'd like to read what Brother Branham is saying here. He said, and he's speaking to Jesus here when he starts. And he said, Jesus said, who can accuse me of unbelief? And if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, yet you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. So you see, here he was doing the same things that God did. He was bearing a reflection in his flesh body that was proving to this people that I and my Father are one. And the scripture says that in that day you'll know that I am in the Father. The Father's in me and I in you. Oh, saints, there's a reality coming to that little bride, but it's got to be we into the word. You can do nothing unless you abide in me. Nothing. Our lives are worthless unless it's 100% buried in this precious word. Amen. He says, now I want to ask you, brethren, if the life of Jesus Christ is in the church, then surely the church should do the same thing he did, because the same life is in it. And if here stands a peach tree, and he used these examples so many times in different messages, but just really stop and think of how the example sounds. Here stands a peach tree. And if I take the peach life out of it and put an apple life in it,
What kind of fruit will it bear? And just keep the things in mind. Our brother was ministering on Sunday. It just goes right along with it. He says, but what kind of fruit will it bear? Apples. That's the kind of life that was in it. You took the peach life out and you put the apple life in, and it'll bear that life. Well, then if that life was in Christ, is in us, it'll bear the fruits that he bore. It's got to. And what a mix-up the people has got in today that think that Christianity is one of the softest things. And saints, we must be careful that we hearken to the voice of the Lord and pay attention to the Holy Spirit, that we're not caught up, as so many are in this day, and thinking, oh, it's all right if I do this. It's okay. Oh, it's, don't worry about it. But the Holy Spirit is stressing. Amen. Everything must be exactly just like he wanted it. Yes, right down the line. Amen. If Jesus' life hadn't backed up, if he couldn't look back through his life and see it lining up and be able to stand there and say, I must be about my Father's business, and then see his life take that change and follow that course. When it come to that day that they placed that crown of thorns upon his head, he would have had no assurance in his heart at that point. It would have been over for him. But he knew that because the rest of that scripture had been fulfilled in his life, when they placed that crown of thorns upon his head, he knew on that third day he was coming out of that grave. He knew he was going to raise. He knew he had that power, and it, oh my, he could see that the word was fulfilled 100%, and he could look back into that word and see where it said, I'll not leave my Holy One, see corruption. He knew he had fulfilled that word, though at the time maybe he was going through great agonies, those thorns was on his head, and he was beaten, mocked, and scoffed. But nevertheless, his hope was in something greater than normal life. He could see what he had been sent for, and he knew that's why he was doing what he was doing. And he says, but people get Christianity as one of the softest things. All they do is they'll put their name on a book, have somebody sprinkle them or something or another, and give the minister the right hand of fellowship. That's all there is to it. Go on out. That's not Christianity. Christianity is self-denial. Take up your cross daily and follow him. Die out to the things of the world when all condemnation is gone. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And how do you get into him? By joining? No. Shaking hands? No. By a union. By an education? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And by the Holy Spirit baptism, we're in Christ. And there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And oh, that would make anybody shout. And oh my, when you can truly see that with a reality in your life, not a hope, not a, oh, I've got the Holy Ghost, but I'm, as our brother mentioned, I'm gossiping all the time, or I'm into this, I'm into that, I can't stay out of this, and I'm over here, and I'm up and down, no peace, no joy, don't know one day from the next. That's not the life of Christ. Jesus walked every day with an assurance in his life. And then you watch after the day of Pentecost, them apostles, how they walked with a steadfastness. Amen. Walk up and lay down and put their head on a chopping block and let somebody cut their head off. Them Christians walk out into that arena and face lions and whatever else they come up against. Why, there was something down on the inside that was greater than this normal flesh, the normal human mind that would have thought, oh, it's a lion, I got to run. There was something down inside that had that whole being under subjection for that time and place. And this is the greatest time. Many righteous men have longed to live and seen this day. This is a greater day. We may not give our natural blood, but oh, it's a battle of the mind, the senses. Look around at how corrupt the world is. Yes, and how human flesh just falls all over everything, and there's no stableness in it at all. But God's here to prove that he can take a people in his hand. Amen. In an age when it's against popular opinion. Amen. And against anything this world says. Amen. And prove that he is God, still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's chosen a people to do that through. Yes. But oh my, it's going to happen to someone. And you may sit in a church and you may say, well, brother so-and-so is still doing this. I think it's okay if I do that. God's calling individuals. Amen. Brother so-and-so may be doing something that he shouldn't be doing, but because he's doing it, oh, it's okay, I'll go ahead and do that too. You better seek the Lord and make sure it's all right for you. Amen. Make sure it's you. It's an individual affair. Yes, make sure your fruit is matching. Because the tree that's not bringing forth fruit is going to be hewn off. But oh, we want to see a life producing fruit, bringing forth overcoming and burning within our hearts. Amen.
Here in this church age, or in the seven seals, this is in the second seal. And it's page 204, about the bottom of the page in my book. I don't have paragraph numbers. He says, now watch. When Jesus incarnates himself and his people, the very life that was in Christ is in this person. Now that may sound strange, the very life, but listen to what he's saying and ask God to open our understandings to the simplicity. Amen. That God means exactly what he says. And he'll bring every word to pass. He says, the very life that was in Christ is in this person. What would it do if you took the life out of a grapevine and put it in a pumpkin vine? It would bear pumpkins. It wouldn't bear pumpkins anymore. It would bear grapes. And what if you took the life out of a peach tree and put it in a pear tree? Would it bear pears? No, it would bear peaches. The life tells what it is. Amen. And as our brother was trying Sunday to show us the simplicity of, if he's in there, his life will come forth. It will manifest and bring forth fruits that match and line up with this precious word. When you hear people say they have got the Holy Ghost and deny this word, there is something wrong. The Holy Ghost wrote the word, and Jesus said this, if a man has my spirit in him, he will do my works. And if you want to read that, if you want to put it down, it's St. John 14:12. All right, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Even more than this shall he do, for I go to the Father. Amen. Just think of, let it become a reality, saints, that it's just not, oh, he's in me. And our lives don't prove it. We don't have no peace. We don't have no joy. I'm disobedient to my husband. I don't love my wife. If these things are in us and we can't overcome it, something's lacking. Because if he was on the inside, it would bring this body subject as our brother was bringing. And as I said, it may sound like I'm rehearsing, but we must see with the reality that it's the truth. This is, in simplicity, just that simple. That it's that way. You take a dog, he eats dog food. You take a deer, he eats grass. But if you put the life of that dog in that deer, he'll eat all that dog food and not touch a lick of that grass. And that's the way it is. It's got to come to a reality in our lives that this word will be vindicated and manifested 100% to prove that this was the truth that was preached in this hour. Oh my, let me see. Just to show an example, this is in the way of a true prophet. This is preached January 19th, 1963. Now, Brother Branham was a prophet. And the only way to know he was a prophet was for him to be vindicated in the word. And to see him, see Jesus Christ. He came preaching this message that he would do the same works that he did then, he would do today. And I want you to listen to what he says here. This is on page, this was preached January 1963, and on page 38, paragraph 291, he says, but now he said, I'll be with you to the end of the world, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. How can he be? His life, then if his life would be in me, then I'd be representing him. And then if it would be, it would be the same life that was in him. It'd do the same things he did. Now he's standing in a prayer line, and he's got people standing there, and he's trying to get them to believe. So he tells him, and he says, now here is a man and woman like St. John 4. He met a woman, he'd never seen her before. She had never seen him, and there they stood together, and he told her, the woman at the well, what her trouble was. When he did that, she said, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. She said, but we know that the Messiah, when he comes, who is called Christ, means the anointed one, when he comes, he's going to do these things and tell us these things. And that sign then identified to her that that was the Messiah that was to come. Now the promise today was I'll be in you, and the works that I do, you shall do also, is what Jesus said in the scriptures. And he said, I am he that speaks to you. And Brother Branham says, now if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, only the corporal body, he uses our body. He's the vine. We're the branches. He don't have no hands, no feet. He's using your feet, your hands, your eyes. You're his representative here on earth. Each one of us is an individual. We have a place. We have a purpose. For God to use. Some might be a minister. Some might be a singer. Some might just be laity, a deacon. Whatever you are, God's got a place for you. And just because you may come here and you don't have maybe an office in the church, that don't mean you don't have a place for God. This is a building we gather in, and we must have these offices within this framework of this building as a church
to keep things. But God called individuals together under the word to become like him and to be a representative of his life. Not a church, but the representative of his life. And here's Brother Branham standing here now, and he's talking to this lady. And he says, he uses our body. He's the vine. We're the branches. That spirit would act again just exactly like it acted when it was within him. Is that right? And the congregation says, amen. And then he goes on to say, lady, I don't know you. But then he began to tell her her troubles. And through that, she's seen that same work that was done then. They didn't know each other, but that gave her faith for a healing line. And through that, each one of us, through the many circumstances, we begin to have our eyes open that there was a prophet in the land. And it's wonderful to know there's a prophet in the land, but it's more wonderful when God reveals his word to you that prophet spoke. And that's what we're after. We're not here just to be Branham followers, or we follow Branham, but we're following Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham was just a voice, the same as Brother DeLong is, or any other minister, except they have offices. And Brother Branham was a prophet, Brother DeLong's a pastor. Maybe I'm an evangelist. Here we stand. And we each bring the word in the capable that God give us, but nevertheless, it's God's word that's being fed back to you, not our ideas. But God sent the message. He said, I'll no longer speak to you lip to ear. And oh my, I wish I'd have brought it with me. I wrote down a message. And if you stop to think about it, or a messenger. Because we often come and we get up here and we say, we're going to bring a message. And if you're bringing a message, you're bringing that message from someone else. It's not your message. You're just delivering it. And that's what we sometimes fail to see is we get our eyes upon the ministry. We get our eyes, well, I can't never be this type of a person like he is. Well, you may not never like the same things. Maybe somebody likes spinach really, really well. And because I don't like spinach, that don't make me wrong. But it's the life of Jesus Christ. We're not here to pattern after and try to mimic and be just like each other. But we're here to be like the Word. And to follow it. And let it come into our lives. And it brings a sweetness in each life. Each husband loves his wife in a different way. Each wife reverences her husband in a different way. Children, the whole thing. We're different people, but yet the life and the sweetness and the joy, it's the same as Jesus Christ had when he walked the shores of Galilee. And you know, then people took notice of Peter and John, the scripture says. They could tell they had been with Jesus. And we're not going to get out of it shy of that. That they can tell you've been with Jesus. But oh, it's got to become a reality in our heart. Yes. Amen. Let me turn over here to. Amen. We'll shift a little bit here. This is in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Very familiar. My voice gets a little weak in the evenings. It's kind of strange. June 28, 1963, and this is paragraph 41. And we're going to start here about paragraph 298. Or we'll back up to 297. Brother Branham speaking, he says, it's a personal, individual affair with the person that Christ has revealed to them. Amen. That's where it begins. Amen. He says, and if you say he's been revealed to me, then the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life in him, does not produce itself in you, then you've got the wrong revelation. Amen. The same way, if Brother DeLong was to ask me to come into his shop and paint a car, just think about it in simplicity. And he'd say, this is how you do it. And I'd say, oh, you revealed it to me. I know how to do it. And that's just about where it stopped. And I would try to paint that car. He'd come back and he'd know that it wasn't revealed to me because that car would be a wreck. It'd be a mess. And he'd be just, anybody else that could paint a car would look at that and say, what a mess. And that's just the way it is with the life of Christ. When you say he's in there, but your life don't back up any of your testimony, it's that obvious to somebody that's housing him. And it stands out that much. And he says here, and if you say you've got the wrong revelation, if I put the life of a pumpkin into the life of a pear tree, it would bear pumpkins. Because by their fruits you shall know them exactly right. And if the first you put out a tree, a grapevine, and it put out a bunch of grapes, the first shoot it put out brought grapes, the next one brought out lemons, and the next one brought out pears, and the next one brought out apples, there is some kind of grafted affair in there that's bearing its own life. Every denomination will bear life of itself. But if that original vine ever puts out another shoot, It will bear grapes like it did the first time. And if the life of Jesus Christ ever puts out another body of believers, it will bear fruit the same as that first one did. And they'll write a book of Acts behind it. What? Acts of the Holy Spirit in a people. Behind it, because it'll be the same life. See what I mean? You just can't get away from it. It's the life of Christ in you, been injected in you by the Holy Spirit itself, living its life through you. And oh my, how, why wouldn't you have the mind of Christ? Oh my, if it's in the inside, if they were, you live. As Brother Branham described it many times, he said, this is where you live. And if this is where you live, I'll just read it here in, let me see here, I laid it to. Yeah, this is in the message, God hiding himself in simplicity, something that Brother Branham used as an example. And he says here, this was preached in 63, April 12th, and this is on page 27, paragraph 190. He said, I was preaching here not long ago, and there was a lady got real happy, and she got to shouting. And there was a boy that plays baseball in the city, and he said, Billy, I was standing outside and couldn't get in. He said, I was enjoying your message till that woman started crying and going on like that. He said, all of them started screaming and carrying on. He said, that just run cold chills over my back. And I said, oh, you didn't believe that? And he said, no. I said, if they didn't do it, it would run cold chills over my back, see? I wouldn't know what I was talking about or where I was talking or what I was talking about, see? And he said he was a baseball fiend. And he said, well, who in the world ever heard of such a thing as that? Belonged to some same organizational church that I came out of. And he said, well, now your message was all right, what you was talking about, but who could hear you? And I said, wasn't about to hear then. The Holy Ghost was there, and he done took over. Said, time for me to shut up. When he comes, he got amongst the people. And he said, oh, Billy, you're just a fanatic, that's all. And I said, well, maybe I am. I said, if I am, I'm one of the happiest fanatics you've ever seen. And I said, well, I want to tell you, I got to talking to him, and I said, say, the baseball park not far from the house, what in the world was taking place over there the other night? And he said, oh, you ought to have seen it. And oh my, you can just imagine. You take some of us brothers that like to deer hunt real well, how much we can really get into a hunting story. And he says, oh, you ought to have seen it. The bases were loaded. Three men on base. He just got all excited. And so-and-so was up to bat. He says, well, you bunch of holy rollers, I never heard such a noise in my life. I said, if I'd have been there, I would have said very much about it. I'd have just stood and looked. He said, you don't care for baseball very much. I said, certainly not. I said, I don't care for baseball. Therefore, I'm not interested in it. I said, if I'd have been interested in it, I'd have been acting the same way you do. And if you was interested in my God and the coming of the Lord Jesus and the power of God, you would have acted the same way when the Holy Ghost strikes into a building. And sometimes maybe we ought to ask ourselves, how exciting is this precious word to me? Oh, I can get excited about a hunting trip. I can get excited about maybe going on a fabric shopping trip. And oh, I can get really excited about maybe one of my animals is having a baby or something. And oh, it's just, oh my, y'all have seen this happen. But oh, what about when that word's coming forth? Is there something inside there saying that's life to me? Hey man, tell me some more. I want to hear more about that. Show me. Oh, I was wrong. Tell me where to straighten it up. Is that our attitude, I wonder? Or are we like, I don't know what's going on in there. Well, shouting, getting happy and carrying on. I didn't feel nothing. Oh, you ought to worry. Amen. Oh, my, sometimes, saints, you can feel the Holy Spirit come through the building, and you can just feel it like a blanket, just fall over the congregation. And oh, sometimes it comes with just a hush. You know, in the upper room, it was a mighty rushing wind. But sometimes it's just a holy hush. And you can feel him move in. And oh, you can feel his presence. And oh, my, if you've never felt that, you don't know what it is, I would cry out to God, the Lord, let me once feel your presence. In a way, you may not jump and shout and speak in tongues. You may just sit down and cry. But if you've never felt the presence of the Holy Spirit that strong in your personal life, I would cry out to God, the Lord, let me know what it is to fill you. Oh, my, saints, he's real. His presence is real. And oh, my, sometimes I think we, you know, a lot of us younger ones, we didn't come through Pentecost. And the only Pentecost we've seen is this Latter-day Pentecost of mockery and people jumping and just carrying on in nonsense. But there is a genuine Pentecostal blessing that starts on the inside and works its way out. And oh my, it'll make you shout. It'll make you jump. It'll make you cry. It'll make you do things you wouldn't do any other time. But it's real. And it's the proof that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just a jump's not good enough. There was a day when jumping and speaking in tongues, oh, that was wonderful. And people thought that was it. But now it's come to come in here and being excited to hear the word. Maybe you jumped and dashed in here, and when you went out that door, your life was a duplicate of what you heard that service through this word coming back. Not something that just was unheard of again till the next service. It didn't live. It didn't manifest. But that's a reality down in our hearts. A burning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this. Brother Branham used this as he was speaking of grafting. Not being, but just kind of let this run with it. This is in The Anointed Ones at the End Time. Preached June 25, 65. And he starts here. He says, about paragraph 47. Just like here some time ago, I have quoted this. And I might quote it because we're hooked up across the nation. One day I was talking to a friend of mine that is coming this morning in Arizona. And he had a citrus farm. And he had a tree there. And there was an orange tree that was bearing grapefruits and lemon and tangerines and tangelos. And I forgot how many fruits there were on that one tree. And I said to that man, how is that and what kind of tree is that? And he said, the tree itself is an orange tree. Amen. And he said, why has it got grapefruits on it? And why has it got lemons on it? And you know, oftentimes I think in reference of this to, you go to church with that person and that person does this, why don't you do it? You claim to believe the same message as that church over there and they do all of this and you don't do none of that. Why is that? Oh my, just listen to as he breaks it on down. He says, it's an orange tree. And I said, why has it got grapefruits on it? And why has it got lemons on it? He said, they're grafted into it. I said, see, well now, I know next year that tree comes forth with another crop of fruit, which they'll ripen about the same time. I said, then we'll bring forth another altogether oranges. If it's a navel orange tree, it'll bring forth navel oranges, won't it, sir? And he said, no, sir. Every grafted branch will bring forth of its kind. He said, you mean that lemon vine will bring forth lemon out of an orange tree? And he said, yes, sir. Will the grapefruit bring forth a grapefruit out of that orange tree? And he said, yes, sir. That's the nature of that branch that's grafted into it. I said, praise be to God. He said, what do you mean? I said, one more question. Now, will that orange tree ever bring forth oranges again? And he said, when it puts forth another branch. When it puts forth another branch, not when one is grafted into it, but they're all citrus fruit, and they all live off the citrus life that's in that citrus tree. I said, there you are. The Methodist will bring forth Methodist every time. And the Baptist will bring forth Baptist every time. The Catholic will bring forth Catholic every time. But the church of the living God will produce Christ from the root, the word, every time it ever puts forth of a vine of its own. And in the framework of this, what we call message following believers, there's true vines, there's a lot of lemons, there's a lot of grapefruits. But if Jesus Christ ever houses himself in a human being, it'll be just like that original seed that was planted. It'll match it 100%. And you won't have to ask, is that an orange tree? You'll know it's an orange. And he says, another vine of its own. Now you can graft in there, you see, every grapefruit, lemon, tangerine, whatever the citrus fruits are, every one of them can live in that tree. But the bearing of the false witness of that tree, living by that tree, you see, they're living and thriving on the genuine life that's in that tree. And now there is Matthew 24:24, living by the same life. But that wasn't right at the beginning. They're also bearing false witness of that tree. It's an orange tree. Yes, it's a citrus tree. And they say this church, this denomination is bearing record of Christ. And got a false baptism, false witness of the word, trying to say that the power of God was only for the disciples. And oh my, when you look around and you see many that say, oh, this is for another day. That was for then. Don't have to be like that today. Brother Branham didn't know what he was talking about. You can see that grafted fruit. They're living under the same sun, receiving the same water, but oh my, they can only help but bring forth of their kind. And that's why we ought to cry out to God, Lord, feed my hungry soul and let me see the growth. Because you know, when you plant a corn seed and when you plant a bean seed, and they both spring to life, immediately you can tell which one's which. Now, it ain't come to maturity yet, but immediately you know that seed's bringing forth of its kind, and that one's bringing forth of its kind, and it'll just continue growing, and you know at the end that one's going to produce a bean, and that one's going to produce an ear of corn. And that's just the way it is with the life of Christ. When that life strikes, and this body begins to turn subject, it don't happen all overnight, as our brother said, we grow as calves in a stall. But when that body turns heavenly, there is this evidence that he's in there, and it'll be proof from there to the time you, whether you be at 10%, 20%, 30%, the evidence of that life in there will always be there. Amen. You know, and thinking of those things, we realize that the Easter's coming up, and how life is blooming, and it all comes, and we see that sign of the resurrection. And we see all these things around us, and how it ought to make us think that someday we're going to leave this world. Amen. And you know, I was just thinking about, as I was reading in the Easter seal, and just where Paul, or Moses, and Abraham, and Joseph, and all of them were buried, and it just never struck me in the manner that it did before, of how none of them wanted to be buried in Egypt. And they all wanted to be buried on that hallowed ground, Canaan. And how when that Jesus arose, they arose with him. I knew that. But it just struck me that their desire was, they knew that when Job said, I'm going to see the Lord, and how it struck their hearts in a reality that they knew they was going to place those bodies in the ground, but they was going to raise. It was in their heart, they knew. And how that ought to burn in our hearts. We might have to go by the way of the grave. But grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? When you stop to think that if I've got the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost shining forth in my life, that's just another stage of my journey. Amen. Just another stage. And it don't matter. When you stop to think how Brother Branham said, some of them men, early Christians, were torn apart by lions. Some were maybe fell into the ocean and eat up by sharks. And bodies torn asunder and put they didn't have caskets. They laid the bones in the ground and they turned back to dust. Totally gone. But yet on that resurrection, Elijah was standing there on Mount Transfiguration, and them disciples recognized him. Oh my, he called them back from the dust of the earth for that resurrection. And he said, it don't matter. As our brother mentioned it, I believe here not long, good or bad, you're going to come back together to meet the Lord at that judgment. Amen. And oh my, just think of that richness of that it don't matter what you do to this body. Somebody can tear it up, but they can't destroy what's down on the inside. Amen. And oh my, it will resurrect one of these days.
Amen.
Amen. This is in the Message Easter Seal, preached April 10, 1965. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Paragraph 84 on page 14. And the same thing with every true believer. When the preaching of God's word comes forth and is vindicated and proved that it's God's word for the hour, there is something within the believer. I don't care how loyal his father was to a church, or how loyal his mother was, or his grandparents. If the church is teaching contrary to this hour of the baptism of the Holy Ghost message, there's something in him that screams out, and he'll leave that barnyard. He's got to do it. The chicken might have been right one day, but this is an eagle hour. It's different. And there is something that he must leave that old coop and fly into the blue. And then this earthly body is quickened and brought by the quickening spirit to the obedience of God's word. Amen. And I believe each one of us can see where that has taken place in our lives. We can see where that quickening power has stirred within us. And we've left maybe a cold, dead creed of a formal church. Or maybe I was having a high time living my life the way I pleased in the world, doing the things I wanted to do, didn't care what anybody had to say. And then for some reason, something grabbed a hold of me down on the inside. No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. Oh my, he come looking for you wherever you was at. Found something grabbed a hold on the inside. And he says, now when the Holy Spirit represented as that eagle flying over the land finds that believer, no man can come to me, and no man can come to me as he wants to, but all the Father has given me will come to me. But no man can come by himself. It isn't your own thinking, your own drawing. It's God drawing, see? All the Father has given me will come to me. And the Holy Spirit is here on earth looking out those individuals that God has ordained to life in this age. And as soon as it finds it, it does just like it did on Jesus Christ, the great super Son of God who redeemed us all. It comes down and it takes its abode in the human life. And now notice, it brought the quickening power, and that quickening power that come upon Jesus, did it quicken him just to jump around, shout, and maybe go to church? Brother Branham says it quickened him to manifest every promise of the word of that day. And so does the Holy Spirit that came upon us in this day. If it's not a mockery, Holy Spirit, you're not the devil mocking it, that Holy Spirit, but it's the real true Holy Spirit. It'll manifest the promise of this hour. When it fell upon Luther, it manifested the promise of that hour. And when it fell upon Wesley, it manifested the promise of that hour. And when it falls this day, it'll manifest the promise of this hour. When it fell upon Moses, it manifested the promise of that hour. Fell upon Noah, it manifested the promise of that hour. And when it fell upon Jesus, it manifested the promise of that hour. It's the Holy Spirit coming down to quicken and make alive those people that's foreordained of God to be in a rapture. Notice, he's a true eagle. He will understand the message of the hour if he's a true eagle. And now that little eagle, probably in the barnyard, was eating all right, but he knew it wasn't exactly right. But when he heard the truth, then he received the truth. And my, may we let that be an example. Maybe I think God's been revealed to me in this situation. Maybe I feel I've got a firm understanding, but if it won't bring my body under subjection to that word, I've got a wrong revelation. Because if it's right, it'll bring it right in tune with God's word. Amen. The saints, it manifested the word for that hour. Amen. And may we just be hungry that this will be manifested in us. There was a work left for this day. That little bride's going to be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. She's going to be just like him. And oh my, how, what a peace it ought to bring in our hearts, and how we ought to be so thankful when that word can come and we can see it cut a short place out. Or we can see it maybe make me look a little bad, and I feel like maybe I want to crawl under the rug. Because if it didn't do that, that shows that you're not being cared for. But whom he cared, as our brother mentioned Sunday night in closing, he loved those whom he loves, he rebukes. And how that precious word comes sometime, but you just a good old scrub. And it's like being out and getting all greasy and dirty, maybe doing hay or something. Come in and get a big old tub of water and get your soap and get all clean. Oh, you come out of there feeling so good and relaxed and refreshed. And that's the way this word is. It's polishing us up. Taking off the few rough edges here and rough edges there. And oh, it ought to create an excitement in our hearts. As we can see the resurrection, we see this taking place, and we realize that this is the world celebrating it as Easter. But in our lives, it ought to be celebrated every day because he lives. I can face tomorrow because he lives. There's a desire in my heart. There's a peace and a happiness and a joy. I'm not worried about having a, you know, it's just, it seems like all the denominational churches anymore celebrate it with a drama show. We're going to do a live drama of this Easter. And they don't even know that what it really means to have the quickening down on the inside. To know that there is a proof of that resurrection that's living today. Oh, my saints, he took me from what I was and brought me to where I am. And to show that that quickening power that raised him from the dead is dwelling in this mortal body, it ought to make us so happy. It ought to make us shout. It ought to make us cry and just be so thankful that in this day, you know people, I know people that's going to church, thinks they're right, and they don't know no more about Jesus Christ than anything. They don't care, really. It's a form, oh, I belong to this church, I'm saved, and I ain't worrying about it. I know I'm going in because so-and-so said I was. And they've never truly experienced down on the inside of knowing without a shadow of a doubt that though this flesh perish here, I'll rise over there. Oh, my saints, how we ought to be so thankful for what God has took the time to reveal to us. The times he's taken to maybe back up and bring something back by our attention that we didn't see. How we ought to be so appreciative for what he's doing for us. Sometimes maybe the word seems like it comes hot. But oh my, it's harvest time, saints. The sun can't help but shine hot. You can't help it. Right now we can't seem to get enough sun. You want more of it and more of it and more of it. But sometimes in August, you're like, I'd just like to have a little break. Maybe I need a little cool weather to blow in about now. But oh my, that's the way it is right before the harvesting of the grain. And my, may we lay open before him and say, Lord, here am I. You take away any creed I've held on to. Remove from my mind some idea that I've had that may have been placed there. And let the holy, precious word of God in simplicity take and come into our hearts and truly show us that if that life is in there, that life you'll see. Just like he did in the others. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Hallelujah. I pray it'll encouragement to someone. I know the Lord had a reason for it. Sometimes we, you know, you just don't know. And sometimes you feel like, Lord, I'll be just repeating. But we just bring it the way God gives it and say, Lord, here's my lips. It's not what I can say. It's what he can say through me. You just yield your body to him and let him have his way. And if each one of us could do that, you know, I was just thinking of that, even in the Easter seal, as he spoke of Philip, how that quickening power quickened him. And took him from a meeting of 2,000 for one person across the way. Caught up in the Spirit. Oh my, you say, that's impossible. No. God done it then. He can do it today. God is a God that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But oh my, man has tried to make him not the same because they couldn't live up to what he's brought. But thank God that he sent a prophet to bring that word in simplicity, that he would bring it back in such a way that if a people would just, as he said many times, just say it the way I said it. Read it. Listen to it. It's on tape. That's why it's there. And oh my, when you stop to think that how God made the way, even in 1947, that every one of those books would still be circulating today. Amen. Oh my, and this precious Bible is even older. As our brother was speaking of it the other night, just think how many years ago all these things were written. And how many years later, they're still the same on every page. Oh my, for you, John Wesley, Martin Luther, all the way back to the saints of old up through each age. Each one of them right there. Oh my, saints, we ought to be the happiest people there is. Amen. Sing that as our brother comes. We're a happy people. Amen. Oh, we're a happy people. Yes, we are. We're a happy people.
To think how God and his great plan, how he put it all together, and we'd sit here tonight and again listen to his word. And listen, I don't care how many times you hear it. To me, it's always refreshing. It's always beautiful to listen to it. Even as great apostle as old Peter was, I stir your pure minds through a way of remembrance.
Amen.
Just think of that. Apostle that the Lord Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom. And yet, he'd have a statement like that to say, I stir your pure minds. Amen. And may we continue to stir our pure minds to the way of remembrance. Bring back to remembrance those things God has left through those holy scriptures, those things the prophet said, that everything would line up exactly the way that God wants to line up. Amen. I love that. Amen. As I said, it never gets old, never grows old. It just gets more sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus and we'll be dismissed. It gets sweeter. Amen. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, it gets sweeter as the moments fly. It's richer. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, It's been such a wonderful pleasure to be here with you tonight and know that your presence is with us. And oh, it makes us happy, Lord, to see the grace and mercy that you've had for us in this late hour and this last days. And Lord, knowing that just any time you could appear and take your little bride home. And Lord Jesus, we just ask that you continue to work on our hearts and our lives, and just that everything would be conformed to the image of you, Lord. Everything we do and say and think. And I was thinking about that, Lord, as our brother was bringing these quotes and speaking the word, how that just proves that even the very mind of Christ, it has to be exactly what you said. Amen. And as our brother mentioned, Lord, there may even be some, Lord, in this day and age that, and I'm sure there is, that they think all the time that it don't have to be exactly like that. It don't have to be just like the prophet said. It don't have to be exactly like the scripture says. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you revealed that to us. It is exactly Amen. The way it has to be. And Lord, you won't accept anything different. Lord, as you give the commandment to Adam and Eve and told them what to do, and Father, they didn't keep that word, and you put them out of the garden. And Father, you are the same today as you was yesterday. There's no way you can let it get by today. It must be every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Father, we just appreciate that word now, and just asking that you bless our service coming up this Sunday if you should tarry, Lord, and if we should have any visitors, may you bless us together, Lord, and reveal your word to us. And Father, deal by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Amen. And again, we'll make sure you get the glory for it. In your precious, wonderful name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.